And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all the people."
Good news and great joy to all people. That iconic voice, unmistakable, Bing Crosby. Born May 3rd, 1903, and died October 14th, 1977, an old neighbor called him Bingo from Bingville, and the name stuck. Bing Crosby had more number one albums than the Beatles and Elvis Presley combined. He had 13 Oscar-nominated songs. He made over 2,000 commercial recordings and 4,000 radio programs. He was Best Actor in 1944 for Going My Way. He has 3 Hollywood stars on the Walk of Fame. He has sold over 1 billion records, CDs, tapes, and digital downloads, and may be the biggest selling artist of all time. So how is it that Bing Crosby did an album with World Library Publications? In today's episode, I'll tell you how. To help me tell that story, I have interviews with Betty Zinsreiber and Marlene Averbeck. Hello and welcome back to the podcast. This is World Library Podcast, the official podcast for World Library Publications. I am Larry Van Mersbergen for WLP. Today we present An American Icon in the Vault, how WLP made an album with Bing Crosby. I think you can imagine how excited we were to find the Bing Crosby recordings in our vault at World Library. It made us not only excited, but helped us to understand our history as a company. So we're going to explore that 60-year anniversary, the American icon, and the people that made that possible. To start with, we go back to 1950. Omer Westendorf founded World Library of Sacred Music back in 1950. He was also the choir director at the St. Bonaventure Catholic Church in South Fairmont near Cincinnati, Ohio. Sometime in 1955, Omer Westendorf wanted to do a special Christmas album. He commissioned composer Han van Kort from the Netherlands to write new arrangements of traditional Christmas carols. These carols were to be arranged in gospel sequence, in other words, story order of Christ's birth. After the project was underway, Mr. Westendorf felt that he should have someone narrate the gospel story to unify the carols. So he thought, wouldn't it be great if we could get a famous Catholic to do that narration? Sounded like a wonderful idea. So he wrote a series of letters, well, with the help of his assistant. He hired a young assistant named Betty Zins. We'll talk more about Betty in a little bit. Here are some of the people that he wrote to. Actress Loretta Young. Singer Perry Como. Cardinal Francis Spellman, the Archbishop of New York from 1939 to 1967. The Archbishop Carl J. Alter of Cincinnati. The Venerable Archbishop Fulton Sheen, TV personality. And prizefighter Rocky Marciano. Also, Bing Crosby. There was no formal reply from anyone, with the exception of Archbishop Alter. He suggested that they contact the Archbishop of Cincinnati, who also did not reply. There was no formal reply from Bing Crosby, but he did make several inquiries to the Los Angeles Chancery Office to relay to the Cincinnati Chancery Office as to the legitimacy of World Library of Sacred Music. World Library checked out, and about a week later, a package arrived at World Library of Sacred Music. Bing Crosby had sent a tape of him narrating the gospel. You can imagine the excitement in the office. Bing Crosby was going to be the narrator of this amazing project. So, with a little feat of engineering from the late 50s, they spliced in organ interludes underneath Bing Crosby's narration to unify the carols sung by the Bonaventure Choir. The letters were written by World Library of Sacred Music employee and the St. Bonaventure organist, Betty Zins. We know her today as Betty Zinsreiber, and she is my first guest, and this is a pre-recorded interview on the telephone.
My guest is Betty Zinsreiber. Hello, Betty. How are you today?
Well, I'm fine, Larry. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for being a part of the podcast today. And just want to start. I know that you've had a long time association with World Library Publications and World Library of Sacred Music, but when did you first meet Mr. Omer Westendorf?
I met him when I was a sophomore in high school at the Summit Country Day School. I was the accompanist for the choral group, the high school choral group, which at that time was called the Glee Club. And he came on board on the staff at the Summit as the choral director. I was the accompanist, so we worked together. That's how I met him.
Wow, fantastic. And when did you become part of the World Library of Sacred Music family?
When I graduated from high school, I was looking for a part-time job. I was going to be going to Mount St. Joseph College as a music major, and Omer was looking for someone to work part-time in his business, which he had just started about 4 years earlier. Mm-hmm. And so I worked part-time as a typist, typing invoices for the music orders, and also typing his correspondence.
Okay, so kind of like a secretarial role?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And then later on, when I graduated from college, he offered me a full-time job as a music editor for the company because he had started going into publishing at that time.
Oh, okay. And I also understand you worked at the St. Bonaventure Church.
Yes, I did.
And what did you do there?
I was the accompanist for the St. Bonaventure Church Choir, mainly for the big feasts of Christmas, Easter, etc., and also for a big Christmas concert that we did every year on the Sunday after Christmas. And it was very, very interesting. There was a pipe organ, small pipe organ, but very good. And that's what I did at the church.
Okay. And so getting to our main topic, when did you first learn about Mr. Westendorf's Bible Story of Christmas project?
Well, since I was the accompanist for the choir, he would talk about, you know, ideas he had for the choir at rehearsals. And he mentioned that he wanted to record the Christmas carols sung by the choir. So it just evolved from there. At that time, he wasn't talking about having a narrator for the recording. That seemed to come a little bit later.
Okay. And when he came around to the idea of a narrator, we know from what we found out here that he wrote to famous Catholics, and the list included Loretta Young, Prizefighter Rocky Marciano, Bishop Fulton Sheen, and Bing Crosby. What can you tell us about the experience about those letters?
Oh, that was quite an experience. He asked me to type the letters, and they were all going to be sent out to these 10 people, nationally known Catholics and celebrities. And they were going to be all sent out at the same time. So I asked him, what happens if more than one replies that they will do the project? And he said, oh, don't worry about that. He said, nobody may answer. He said, I'll be lucky if I get any answer. So sure enough, somebody did answer, and we knew it was Bing Crosby.
Yes, I'm sure the... And I know by way of Bing Crosby, we found out that Bing actually contacted the Los Angeles Chancery Office to inquire as to the legitimacy of the company. And
yes.
then he mailed a tape. So what? I understand you probably weren't there when the tape arrived, but what do you think that reaction was when the tape arrived?
Oh, I'm sure Omer was thrilled. And I'm sure everybody who was in the office at the time knew about it right away. Mm-hmm. And probably his first step was to call his recording engineer to make arrangements to go to his studio to, so that Omar could hear the tape.
And I told you already, but for the benefit of our listeners, we still have that tape.
Yes, uh-huh.
And it sounds as amazing as it probably did the day it arrived, 60 years later.
That is amazing that after all these years, that first of all, it's in good shape. Secondly, mm-hmm. that it was even still available, that it was there in the files. And that just amazes me.
Yeah, the tape not only is in good shape, but we were lucky enough that there was a date attached to the tape of August 6, 1956.
1956?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
How do you think the arrival of the Bing Crosby narration affected the project as far as the recording of the carols and the mood of the choir?
That probably didn't have too much effect at the time. Of course, they were thrilled that Bing Crosby was going to be a part of it. But the work of recording the choirs went on, the songs, pardon me, mm-hmm. the carols went on as usual. And that was, as you can imagine, recording the same carol several times in a row till you get a good take.
Right.
A lot of work and effort. So that proceeded as usual in one sense, but I think it did give them a little bit more purpose and drive to get the work completed.
Yes, and I even had the privilege of listening to the choir tapes as well, the original reel-to-reels, which sound really wonderful. And it was interesting to hear the many different takes, and they all sounded very good. So the discerning ear, I can't imagine what it took to pick out the right one. I couldn't tell which one was the final take, but they all sounded wonderful. It was an amazing choir.
It really was a good choir, yes.
Mm. Now, the carols were all arranged by composer Han van Cort. Did you ever get to meet him or talk with him?
No, I never had the pleasure of meeting him. He was from Holland, and as far as I recall, he didn't make a trip to the United States.
Mm.
But I certainly enjoyed and admired his arrangements and really enjoyed playing them.
And I guess the next part of that project is there were organ interludes written to bridge the songs together and to play behind Bing's voice. And I understand you were the one who played the organ.
Yes, I did. And again, it was recorded in church on the Wicks pipe organ.
Mm-hmm.
And it was recorded straight through, with the interludes straight through.
Mm-hmm.
Bing Crosby did not come to any of our rehearsals or recording sessions. So his tape was of his narration was straight through also.
Right.
So I don't know how the recording engineer at that time put those two things together, Bing Crosby's narration and my playing of the organ interludes behind the narrations. Whatever the technology was at the time, he certainly was a master at it. The recording engineer was very, very good. I do know that he had to take the tape of the narration and probably of the recording interlude too, or however you put the two together, and splice the segments of the narration into the master tape in between the carols, which was a very painstaking and exacting job. It was all done mm-hmm. physically with cutting the tape and then taping it into the master tape and taping it with something like Scotch tape.
That's pretty amazing how that did. Now, do you know when the album got released exactly?
Well, I understand it was released in 1957.
Mm-hmm. That's the best we could come up with. We couldn't find an exact date. Do you know how sales were?
No, I'm sorry. I don't know any information on the sales at that time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We were able to determine that 1,000 copies of the original album were printed. And we have 7 prints left here at World Library. So we're not sure if the rest, so I assume some complimentary copies were sent out as well. So we're pretty close to maybe 800 copies may have sold during that period. We can only guess. I know it's tough to discuss time passing, but it is actually now 60 years later. And how do you feel about the album being reissued?
Well, I'm quite excited about it. To think of something that goes back this many years and was out of print, basically, and now given a new birth, so to speak, it's very exciting and I'm very honored to be a part of it.
Oh, and we're happy that we can talk to you about this. The impact has actually been felt around the world. The International Club Crosby is actually based in London. And they were very excited to hear our news that it's an official Bing Crosby release and that it's been re-engineered and put on CD so that the world can enjoy it. And that's been absolutely a very exciting thing for us here at World Library Publications as well, to have such a nice thing in our archive. If I could ask, too, I know you're still in the Cincinnati area. About how many of the original choir members are still around, do you know?
Well, we've located 4 of them who are in the area, and we're still looking for more. There was a children's choir, which I think was an all-girls choir at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the choir members that we've located was in the children's choir at that time.
Wow.
And so we're hoping we can locate more of the people in the children's choir. But especially considering it was probably all girls, and you know, the young girls growing up and getting married and having a change in their last name,
right?
It's getting to be more difficult to locate people. But at least we've located a few of them.
Yes, actually, I think one of the first orders we received was the daughter of John Murray.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Who was a tenor soloist.
Yeah.
And so we were excited to get that information, that she was very excited to see the album released, and I'm hoping that more of the children will find it and go, wait a minute, did my dad or mom sing on that? And so we're hoping that it catches on there. So just asking your opinion, how do you think the world is going to react to a brand new Bing Crosby release that we actually consider to be a lost recording based on our knowledge that it was only released in a very limited area and was only available for a short time?
I think the world will react to it quite well. I understand there are a lot of Bing Crosby fan clubs around mm-hmm. the world now. And it's a very unusual record for a Bing Crosby fan in that he doesn't sing.
Right.
As Omar used to say, Bing doesn't sing on this record.
Yes. And actually, when I was doing my research, I looked into Bing's discography, and he only did a couple of narration albums, a couple of children's stories. He narrates Huckleberry Finn and tells another Christmas story, but not the Bible story. So what we were trying to determine is if this recording was used anywhere else, and from what we understand and talking with Bing Crosby Enterprises, this recording was for the sole use of the World Library of Sacred Music.
Oh.
So yes. It was very exciting to have it. Basically, to kind of wrap up, is there anything else you want to tell us about this project?
Well, again, I want to say that I'm delighted that World Library has decided to reissue this recording and it's very unusual, and I think it's offering not only a beautiful album of a good choir singing Christmas carols, but also a renowned celebrity narrating the wonderful Christmas gospel, the story of the meaning of Christmas. And I think it's just, well, as I said, I'm very honored to be a part.
Thank you, Betty Zinsreiber, for joining us today and for giving us a lot of helpful information on the history of this album.
Oh, well, you're certainly very welcome, Larry. I'm pleased that I'm still around to do it.
My guest is Betty Zinsreiber. She was a longtime editor for the World Library of Sacred Music and World Library Publication. She has contributed to our AIM magazine on many occasions and also was the organist on The Bible Story of Christmas, narrated by Bing Crosby. Thank you, Betty, for joining us.
You're certainly welcome.
We thank Betty for joining us. When we decided to go forward with reissuing the recording, we had to find out whether or not we owned the rights to Mr. Crosby's narration. A Google search at the time came up with very little, but it did lead me to a blogger. This blogger had listed on his blog the top 10 most rare holiday recordings, and at the top of the list, The Bible Story of Christmas, narrated by Bing Crosby, the original 1957 edition. So I answered the post and told them who I was and where I worked, and I got an email almost within a minute. Tell me more about this. I'm really excited to hear back from the company we didn't even know was still around. So happy to say World Library of Sacred Music became World Library Publications in the late 60s and was purchased by J.S. Pollock in 1972. So that's a short history of the company there. Our blogger led me to the International Club Crosby, which is the oldest and largest fan club for Bing Crosby, according to the Guinness Book of World Records. I spoke with Malcolm McFarland, the club director, and he led me to a Mr. Robert Bader, vice president of HLC Properties and Bing Crosby Enterprises. I sent him an email asking about the narration from 1957. It took about a week, and here is the reply I got. Larry, I researched our files for this, and the only thing I can tell you about this copyright is that we don't own it. I can tell you that Bing donated his services and was not paid for the narration. We have no objection to the recording being reissued. If I can help in any way, please let me know. And if you can, please send a few copies of the release to my office. I'm sure the family would love to have this. Now you can imagine my personal excitement that I just discovered that World Library Publications owns Bing Crosby's performance. After securing this information, I made a presentation to a group of managers, our vice president, and some of our editors. In addition to the Bing Crosby recording, we also have the music of the Bonaventure Choir. The Bonaventure Choir was made up of adults and two-part children, so the arrangements were written specifically for SATB choir, four-part choir, and two-part children. Recently, our company was at the National Pastoral Musicians Conference in Cincinnati, Ohio, and while we were there, we were able to organize a mini reunion of the surviving members of the Bonaventure Choir. Our special thanks to Mary Lou and Bill Rafferty for hosting that lunch. My next guest is Marlene Averbeck. Marlene is featured on track 3, The First Noel, as the featured soloist. She joins me on the telephone for a pre-recorded interview.
My guest today is Marlene Averbeck, who is a featured soloist along with the late John Murray on track 3, The First Noel, on The Bible Story of Christmas, narrated by Bing Crosby. Thank you, Marlene, for being with us today.
Well, thank you for letting me.
You're welcome. So let me ask you, how do you feel about this album being re-released worldwide today?
I think it is just awesome. I never believed that something like this could possibly happen. It just shakes me up.
Well, that's wonderful. We were excited as well. I guess the other question, too, is
How does it feel to share a credit with Mr. Bing Crosby?
Oh, it's marvelous. We were so awestruck at the time that, well, I know we believed he might come and sing with us. So then when Omer finally said that he had heard from him and that they were going to do a tape, we still did not know if he was singing or what exactly.
Right.
So it was just a real experience. I mean, we had dreams, you know.
Sure. that's quite. It's still the story. Still is met with a lot of intrigue and excitement from people. Are like, really, how, you know, how did this happen? And so it's quite. It's still, you know, being talked about around here at World Library. Let me ask you this. Do you still have your original album?
Yes, I do. I've got every one we made.
Oh, that's fantastic. You probably have more than what we have here. We don't have every album, unfortunately, in our archive. But that's exciting. That album is 60 years old.
Oh, my gosh, that's right.
It was released in 1957, so we timed the re-release to 2017 so we can mark the 60th anniversary of the original recording.
Oh, that is phenomenal.
Oh. And let me ask, have your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren heard you sing on this?
Well, they've heard my tapes, but I've been telling them about what's going on, and they're all excited for me. And, of course, they said, you have to get me a copy.
Of course. Now, let me go back to that. Let me go back 60 years, if I can, here. What do you remember about recording the first Noel?
Well, we were running through all the music all the time. Omer always had new stuff, and most of us were very proficient in sight reading, so we would go over it and what he liked he kept and what he didn't, you know. And so then when we started working on various pieces, he would change his mind and say, you sing this part, you sing that part, stuff like that. And
okay.
So whatever he said, we did.
Okay, so there was no real process in picking soloists? He just tried out different things?
Yes, well, Sylvia Kastner, who's got another solo on there, mm-hmm. Phil and I used to sing together a lot. I mean, we would do parts, you know. And he'd just point at us and say, you sing the top, you sing the bottom, you know.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell everybody about this record?
Well, I know one thing for sure. First of all, the recording equipment back in those days was unbelievable by today's standards.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever remember seeing microphones. We never used a microphone when we sang in that church.
Okay.
And so I don't know how they got the recordings they got, to be honest, because, you know, we just would all sing. And what was amazing was the church was, there was a street in front of the church was a block away from a hospital. So we would be recording, and a siren would go by. two streets over was a train that went from downtown Cincy out to Western Hills. And so in the middle, a train would go by, so we'd have to stop. We would have to redo, go back, start over. Sometimes, oh, and that was just all stand there like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I imagine that would be a hazard of the time. That's an amazing story. For my listeners, my guest is Marlene Averbeck, who with the late John Murray were soloists on The First Noel, which is track 3 on The Bible Story of Christmas, narrated by Bing Crosby, recorded in 1956. We're going to follow this with a clip of The First Noel. Thank you so much, Marlene, for talking with me today.
It's no problem. I really do appreciate what you're doing. Well, World Library has always been part of our life, because even when Omer first started getting it, you know, doing it, we would help out when the music, he had music sent from Europe and all over, and we were at his house and we'd catalog music and everything. World Library has just been part of our life.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear, and thank you so much.
They've done a fabulous job, and that recording called Legacy that they did of Omer's history is just beautiful.
Oh, wonderful. We'll have to see if we still have that somewhere here. I don't know. We're still going through our archive one thing at a time. But again, thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll return to the podcast.
Well, thank you so much. I am
thank
so
you.
Excited about it. So you'll
thank
have
you.
To keep us posted about everything that goes on.
Oh, we'll do. As soon as this is edited and posted, I'll let Betty know so that she can get a copy for you.
Okay. That would be wonderful.
Oh, we'll do. And thank you so much.
Really appreciate it. And I appreciate your time and all you have done for us.
Thank you, Marlene. I appreciate it. It's been a fun project for me.
Yeah, oh, good. Well, listen, you have a great day.
A very special thanks to Marlene Averbeck for joining us. So that's the story of how World Library Publications and Bing Crosby made an album together. We thank you for listening to the World Library Podcast. This is the official podcast of World Library Publications. Special thanks to our Vice President and Chief Publishing Officer, Jennifer Odegaard, our Director of Marketing, Raquel Hernandez, our Director of Publications, Mary Beth Kundi Anderson, our Rights and Permissions Manager, Michelle Von Ebers. Our Production Manager is Deb Johnston. And our Customer Care Manager is Aditi Garcia. Bill and Mary Lou Rafferty are the owners of J.S. Pollock & Company, and we thank them both for their generous support. Ron Rendeck was the Project Manager for The Bible Story of Christmas. The Bible Story of Christmas, narrated by Bing Crosby, with traditional carols sung by the Bonaventure Choir, is available on CD for $10 or limited edition vinyl for $25 by visiting our website at wlpmusic.com, or you can call our wonderful customer care line at 800-566-6150 and just ask to buy the Bing Crosby album. You can also get this album at amazon.com. This podcast is copyright 2017 by World Library Publications, and all rights are reserved. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. For World Library Publications, I'm Larry Van Mersbergen. Thank you for listening, and we look forward for you to join us on our next episode.
And all who had heard marveled at the things told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept in mind all these words, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, even as it was spoken to them.